principal alone. Olsen stood along a ribbon of moonlit dirt track, facing the feeble twin headlights of an approaching truck emerging from the frowning black mouth of the desert. A chilly wind racked his body with a violent shiver, and Cooper watched him snug the fleece collar of his greatcoat up around his ears. The American found it ironic that Polzin wore a coat and hat made of astrakhan, the finely curled pelts of day-old Karakul lambs. Tens of thousands of the tiny things were slaughtered here at this very kill house and places like it every spring. The slaughter had to take place only hours after the lambs were born, before their pelts, valued for centuries because they were smooth as wet silk, lost their curl. Within a few days of birth, the golden fleece became nothing but coarse wool. Cooper tried to push the stench of old death out of his mind. His thoughts drifted for a quick moment to his fiancée, Jill, back in Richmond. He couldn't help but chuckle. As much of a meat-eater as she was, had Jill seen this Russian wearing the fleece of a half-dozen day-old lambs, she would have clawed his eyes out. Rattling in from the darkness, the rusted green hulk of a UAZ flatbed truck squeaked to a stop beside Mikhail Polzin. A plume of fine dust blossomed around the truck as the driver's door creaked open. A stooped and bony man who looked to be in his 60s, which in the hard scrabble life of this part of the world could mean late 40s, climbed from the rounded, egg-like cab. He approached the Russian agent, right hand over his heart, in traditional Muslim greeting. A big-busted woman with a body shaped like a fuel drum sauntered around from the passenger side, rocking back and forth in a waddling walk as if she had a bad hip. The grimy belly and frayed knees of her smock and trousers suggested she was used to a life lived close to the dirt. A black headscarf pulled her jowly face into a permanent scowl. She took no time with the niceties of introduction and began to wave gnarled fingers at two boxes in the bed of their truck. One was the size of a military footlocker, the other, made of the same olive drab material, the size of a large suitcase. She ranted in a shrill mix of Uzbek and Russian, her words pulled tight as an overly wound clock. A gust of wind ripped away the bulk of her animated lecture, but the part Cooper heard caused him to lean forward, straining to hear more. Their small peasant farm had been cursed with sick livestock and bad water. She spit disdainfully on the ground and threw her hands into the air, clutching at her headscarf with both hands for effect. Rheumy eyes glowed through the green pixelated image of the night vision scope. Cooper understood some of the words all too well. Gritting his teeth, he rolled slightly to remove the pistol from his waistband and place it on the table within quick reach. He slid the satellite phone from the cargo pocket of his pants. His position was several feet back from the window, making it impossible to get a signal, but he punched in a number anyway, entering a coded text before pressing send. The phone was programmed to continue its search and send the message in an instantaneous burst as soon as it located a satellite, even if it was turned off and on again. Outside, the Russian took an envelope from the breast pocket of his wool coat and handed it to the old man. The Uzbek passed it to his wife, who promptly opened it and began to count the thick stack of what looked like American bills. Polzin followed the old man to the bed of the truck, took something from his pocket, and played it back and forth across the boxes, nodding.
"Many thanks, my friend,"
Cooper heard the Russian say.
"There will be another payment. Double the one in your wife's hands as soon as I get these items back in safekeeping."
"What good is money if our sheep are dead?"
The old woman took the time to stuff the envelope inside her smock before throwing her hands again.
"Take our truck. We will walk back."
The desert suddenly erupted with a swarm of blinding lights as four all-terrain vehicles roared in to surround Polzin and the Uzbeks. Clouds of dust cast crossed shadows from the headlights as they all came skidding to a stop. A tall, slender man in a puffy lime-green ski parka and designer blue jeans dismounted his four-wheeler with a theatrical flourish. Even in the darkness, Cooper could make out the black line of a thin mustache. Striding purposefully to the ranting Uzbek woman, the newcomer raised a pistol and shot her in the face. The man spun, giving an exaggerated shrug.
What?